Did anybody ever see a preacher use to have a cigarette while they were preaching, even in the old days? You think? So there's one mind, you hear? You see? Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Yeah, this could be the start of something big. And now I'm bear with me. I'm in my new technology. Thank you. Actually, that's an amazing song. And it was written by Steve Allen. And there's some terrific covers of it on YouTube. It's really worth looking at YouTube to see. There's a wonderful video, which I noticed when we were talking about doing this, of Steve Allen and Steve and Edie and Ann Southern walking through the Burbank studios in this long tracking shot. It's very joyful. And it's a perfect church song, really. Because at any moment, it could be the start of something big. If that is the way you approach life. And if you don't approach life like that, I invite you to perhaps change your thinking. What we all learned from all of our teachers, be they Dr. Bitzer or Walker or Steve Allen, who was a deep thinker as well, you know. He was a well-known atheist, but built the Center for Inquiry on Hollywood Boulevard, and was very serious about mind and human life and human potential. And this is a marvelous opportunity that we have to get to be on this planet. It's a marvelous and a unique opportunity. We're having a class right now, and so often, you know, I get inspired by what happens in class on Wednesday night, and I either change my talk or I amend it somehow. But a very important question came up in the context of class. And it spoke to me when it was asked, really by several people, about when is enough enough? So much of our teaching and so much of the teachers, including myself at times, are always presenting talks or being inspirational, we hope, to get on out there and live life, and life is a banquet. And that may not be the way you're feeling all the time. And it's fair to ask, can't I just be grateful for what I have and not be pushing all the time? And the answer, of course, is yes. Of course, there's a time for everything. And of course, there must be a fallow time in all of our lives. For everything, there is a season, yes. But there are four seasons. And to stay in any one of them does not allow us to take full advantage of the opportunity of living. I guess the wise person then wants to be self-aware enough to know when it's time to plant seed and when it's time to lay fallow and when it's time indeed to harvest. Again, to be in any one mode would be totally enervating. You would be completely exhausted. If we're going to stay with the agricultural metaphor, the field will get completely played out and there will be no nutrition in it. One has to rotate one's crops. We all know this. Now we know it. And so the question, I guess, is then where are you in your life? What's going on right now? Do you need a season to be fallow? Do you need inspiration to kick it up a notch? Because all of these things are available to us at any time. We no longer live according to the weather. I was reading an article in National Geographic yesterday about the far, far northern islands off of Scotland and these communities that they have found, which are 5,000 years old. That's a pretty harsh climate up there. I've been there. And there's a time to burrow in and to dig deep. And there's also a time to bust out when the sun comes up and to party. So where are you? Where are you in your life? No matter where you are, and it's for you to answer the question, in fact, there really is always something coming. There is always something around the bend to do. It also depends on what your worldview is. And this was the answer that we talked about in particular. What do you think you're here for? What do you want out of life? What do you think life is, really? And how do you want to live in it? My particular worldview is very much informed by the Science of Mind and by Emerson, and I learned that here. I did not learn it in high school, but I learned it here in this ministry. And every time we give a treatment, our prayers are effective because we first and foremost understand that we are part of the one thing, which is life itself expressing. And all expressions in life, there is a time where life arises and life maintains, and then life recedes. Life is recycled. Now, that's a phase of every day, it's a phase of every week, it's a phase of every month and year and decade, and it's a phase of every life. There's always something rising, there's always something to be maintaining and managing, and there should be also always that which we are complete with and ready to let go of and to have that energy for something new. I believe, because it's been my experience, that also to whom much is given, much is expected. And I believe that's up for every one of us because we have unique abilities and talents that no other life form has. It is as simple as that. When we take a look at nature itself, and I got this from Emerson, and if it's a new insight for you, I'll repeat it a couple of times. But every living thing, if it's a blade of grass or a ladybug or you, every living thing has abilities commensurate with its purpose. Everything has abilities commensurate with its purpose. That's a gift of evolution. We can assume that all things in nature are operating at their full potential. And why do we assume that? Because of the givingness of nature. Nature isn't stingy, nature is profligate. It gives it away every year. If you take the moment to think about what is the nature of your being, and I know this is a little class-like today, but if you think about what is the nature of your being, what powers do you have? Imagination, consciousness, hands with opposable thumbs. I wish I had a prehensile tail. I would love to have one of those tails that whacked around. I think they're fabulous. Not in this lifetime. But what are the abilities that you have? And I'm not going to get all Catholic school on you and say, are you operating at your full potential? The answer for every human being is not quite. But some more than others. And those are the people that I like to look at, that I like to draw inspiration from. And I don't need to know all the details of anybody's life. But I know that anybody that accomplishes a lot in a given lifetime obviously enjoys what they are doing, obviously understands that they are a creative being first and foremost, obviously gets that their life is an opportunity, and also understands that there's no have to here. You don't have to do anything, comma, but why wouldn't you? But why wouldn't you? For a million reasons that we all come up with. Because we've been discouraged in life because we were smacked down one too many times. I know them all, right? And we all share them. We all share them. The art of living, as we mentioned in class, is still understanding that life has problems, challenges, really hard stuff in front of you. But it never means that life is bad, and it never means that anything is against you. It simply means we live in a complex world with 7 billion people and trillions of different kinds of forms of life, and each is seeking to optimize itself. So, of course, some of our agendas are going to bump into each other. Of course, that's going to happen. But if you have any notion of what it is to be you, or what it is that you want to do, or what you want to do next, having, exhausted. Well, that's never going to be a right word. But having given yourself to a certain discipline, or a certain work, or a certain even a relationship for a certain amount of time, maybe there is something else for you to do, to move on to, having learned everything that we can possibly learn. Maybe there's something else to do. You know, I am also aware that this weekend is always going to be the anniversary of Woodstock. And I was 16 when Woodstock happened. And it was one of the watershed moments of my life as I look backwards. And there haven't been all that many moments where you see something happening and you go, yeah, that's where I want to be. Or I get what they're trying to achieve with that. And I did grow up in a time of great exuberance and great optimism. And that time being immediately followed by disco years, which I am proud to be part of that as well, where the music was relentlessly positive. Relentlessly positive. With messages coming from every corner in every musical style about this is an opportunity. Whether it's a party or not remains to be seen. But this is a fantastic opportunity that all people of the world are entitled to be a part of. Again, you know, it was actually Theodore Roosevelt who said, "To whom much is given, much is expected." And much has been given to human beings. And I think that we have forgotten that in order to keep exercising the great powers that we have, in order to maximize the powers that we have to keep using them, and using them for good purposes, which are creative purposes, not destructive purposes, but for creative purposes. It is the only way to keep them and to keep them at full operating potential. That's the only thing that's going to guarantee a satisfactory or an exuberant life, is the willingness to stay at it. And this changes over our life, yes? Because there are things that are totally appropriate for somebody who is 20 to be doing that's not really appropriate or attractive to be doing when you're 40 or 60 or 80. But all of these capacities must be utilized. And no doubt, you see, this is how this is going to be spiritual rather than merely coaching. No doubt, these same capacities will be called upon when we cross a threshold and are no longer here. So every time we exercise our unique abilities, whatever the creative, imaginal, executive functions that we have of consciousness, we're also preparing ourselves to have a fabulous next life, whatever that is going to be. That's got to be part of the plan. I don't know what you're up to. I don't know, really and truly, what it is you want. And at this moment, there may be a part of you that is saying, I don't know either. And I get that. But I'll tell you something. One of the great mistakes I've made in my life, more than once, was cutting myself too much slack and staying in a place of I don't know, while season after season after season passed. I don't know might be what we were calling in class a protective thought. We say, what do you want to do? I don't know. I would do it only if I knew. I think I spent a lot of the 80s there. Okay, 78 to 94. I probably spent that much time there. And in retrospect, all I had to do was make a choice. All I had to do was make a choice. I'll give my energy here. Why did I wait so long? I've got stories. I won't bore you. Was it time wasted? Maybe, I don't know. I'm here now. And what I know is that what we speak of here and what so much music speaks to is how fabulous this opportunity is. And that, yes, we get discouraged, and yes, we might tell ourselves we don't know what to do, but in our teaching we know part of you says, I don't know what to do, but the most important part of you knows exactly what to do at any given moment. And as we grow in self-awareness, it's so much more important to grow in self-awareness than in knowledge of principle, because the mind of God is always at work, giving us an equivalent of what we're thinking. So to devote yourself to growing in self-awareness of what am I thinking, what am I continually saying, what routine am I always bringing into play, to be aware of what that is, and to work with that and to fine-tune it and to let go of the things that do not favor life and to more deeply embrace the things that do favor life, which means to make you happy, make you peaceful, and make you want to get out of bed in the morning. Those are the things to give yourself to. I'm getting in a habit every week, it seems like, saying, this is simple, yes. And this is not easy. But that's why you have such an amazing mind, such an amazing heart. And at whatever level of energy you have, you've got that too. So as long as you're here in this body, having this experience, why not go for it? Why not? Who says you can't? Do whatever it is that's on your mind. Some little voice here is telling you you can't. The one you need to listen to is the voice that comes from here. You have all the support in the world, and who knows how much time you have? That is not known to us. That is what is not known. So take advantage of what you've got. Take advantage of your friends. Take advantage of always placing yourself on the threshold of learning something new so you can bring what you hold to be true in sharper focus and continue to practice these powers of observation so that you will grow in self-awareness. You will know what you're doing. You will know what you're thinking. And when somebody asks you or you ask yourself, what do you want to do? You'll have an answer. That's a spiritually mature person, I think. That's what maturity is at long last, of getting to that place of really assuming that responsibility, not the onus of responsibility, but the pleasure and the privilege of responsibility. It's all yours. Any moment could be the start of something big. It's easy for someone like Reverend Marion Moon because she's moving and there's so much fun. You know, I moved 14 times in 20 years. That's a fact. I know it sounds very suspicious. And my parole officer tells me not to talk about it too much. However, moving is really exciting. It also involves letting go. But you know what? There's a whole other world to be explored. Why don't you decide this day that this will be the start of something big? Yes? Something brand new and big and bussing over your way into the future. Thank you, friends. I appreciate you.